heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As the years have gone by since we've had a school, I've come to really appreciate the Christmas break, because the school is closed for a few weeks and the church is pretty much closed too. We can come in, I can come in some, but we can, a lot of flexibility, which is really good. Get to call up and stuff, and this year I got to catch up on some rest too, which is, I always say I'm going to, and it never works out that way. Just get caught up on some sleep and rest, but it's amazing how you can get caught up on sleep, and within a couple of days, it's all undone. It's like you start all over again. It's sleep deprived. And so these last two nights, not last night, but the night before, every time I would try to go to sleep, there was a remembrance that I had to go back in the kitchen to do something, to fix something, get something ready. And just when I'm finally about to go to sleep, Livy reminded me that there was something else I needed to go do in the kitchen. And so by then, I came back to bed. I couldn't go to sleep. I'd stirred around, done too much stuff, and I got about 4 hours sleep. So last night, I was determined I was going to get some really good sleep. And I go to sleep, and Henry sleeps in my bed, my 12-year-old dog, and he has this pillow that sort of separates the bottom half of the bed, which is his. If he ever crosses over the pillow, I know there's a problem, that he's something that scared him. So at some point during the night, when I finally got up, I realized it was like 4. Henry, I noticed Henry up against me, and then it got worse. He tried to crawl under my skin. He was up under my chin. He was laying on top of me, rolled over on his back. And he wasn't crying, but he was obviously upset about something. Something was scaring him. He's really frightened of thunderstorms. It's gotten worse as he's gotten older. And I was looking out the window. I didn't see anything going on. But he just kept getting worse. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe he's thirsty. So I tried doing that and didn't work. I tried walking him in the den, let him outside. He wouldn't go outside. I thought, so go back in the room, and it starts all over again. And I noticed that the digital clock on Livia's TV wasn't working. And that on my electric blanket, the light was blinking, which meant that at some point there had been a power surge or something had happened. The lights, the power had gone off even for a second, and it come back on. That's what will happen. And I thought, oh boy, that's what it is. Because if that happens to Henry, Henry thinks thunderstorms, power going out, same thing. So even though he didn't hear any thunder, the fact that the power went out, he believes hell's coming. And he's wanting me to do something about it. So finally I thought, well, if that's the problem, I don't know what to do. So I just got up, grabbed some pillows, went into Woody's old bedroom. Henry followed me, and he goes to his little corner and goes right to sleep. And I get to get a little bit more sleep. But that took a long time to make all that happen, so I'm pretty sleep-deprived again today. But the thing that's funny about that is that Henry concluded that our bedroom was the only dangerous place in the house. As we got to the other room, that was safe. But our room was about to explode, and we were all going to die. And we just had to get out of that room. And Henry's a really intelligent dog, but I'm thinking, isn't that how we live a lot? There's such a deception that we'll see things from one lens and then we totally forget about everything else we know. And we think something's true and it's really ridiculous. From God's perspective, what we believe is true and is causing us fear and anxiety and all that jazz is absolutely absurd to God. There's this scripture, it's really familiar, but it's just one of the stunning ones in the New Testament. I shared it last week, but this is from a different perspective. When the Lord just talks about our salvation and what our salvation looks like. What does it look like to be a Christian, to be saved? By grace you've been saved through faith. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think one of the things that's typical that we do, we look at scripture and then we have a picture in our mind's eye what that must look like. And for years and years, I never could figure out this whole heavenly places thing. It just seemed too out there. It wasn't very practical. Even though I understood about Christ being in me, Christ living the Christian life through me, you know, until about, I don't know, for the first 20 years of that, 15 years of that, I didn't really get the heavenly places thing. I have the last 20 years or so. Because I kept trying to figure out what that would look like. What does that look like? And then I simply read somebody say one time, it's just a different realm of reality. I thought, oh. And it was the word places that was messing me up, because I kept trying to think of something tangible. And of course, the word places is not even there. It just says, in the heavenlies. this other realm of reality called heaven. The Bible used terms like up, but it's not like up. It's just other. And then we think of seated, and there's truth. This is true that we're seated in Christ, is what he says. And then we think of where Jesus is seated, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So sometimes in our natural mind, Western mindset, we see things sort of geographically or in sort of a linear order. Okay, there's these chairs, and they're like in order. That's the Father. He's here. That's okay. But really, biblically, in an Eastern mindset, a Middle Eastern mindset, in a covenantal relationship, which the Scripture always talks about, to be seated at the right hand of someone really meant that you were just put in the highest position of honor, the place of being most honored. Like if you had the very colored tunic or you were the heir, you were invited to sit at my right hand. So it's not really anything to do with location. It's got everything to do with it means that you're in the most honored position. And of course, in the ascension, Jesus took the most honored position. And because we're in Christ, we share the most honored position. We've talked about over the years something that's really cool relationally and it ministers to me emotionally. The Song of Solomon really reiterates is that I'm God's favorite. And each one of us can say that we're his favorite. But we can go farther than that and go, because you are seated in Christ in the most honored position, you are God's most favored. And that's when he says that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the most honored position in the heavenlies in Christ. All the favor that's on him is on you. That makes sense. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ because I'm seated in the most honored position in Christ. I share that with him. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. The Father, the Holy Spirit would never say no to Jesus about anything, would they? It'd shake your world when you think about praying in Jesus' name. But all the promises of God are yes in Christ, which is where I am in the most honored position. So I was talking to somebody this morning, and they were dealing with a life situation, kind of like we all do. There was just some scrambling for some things, dealing with the system. People weren't making sense. It was sort of a frightening outcome of what was going to happen or might happen. I mean, not like life-threatening, but just stress outcome. It's going to put a strain on what your resources to live life in this moment. But he says that God shall supply all your needs. That's a pretty big word. According to his riches and glory in Christ. You see, because Jesus sits in the most favored position as the Son, all the riches that are in glory are in Christ. Everything's his. He's the most favored. Well, so are you. And it says God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ. The riches of the Godhead are in Christ. And so Jesus sits forever in the fellowship of the Godhead as the God-man. And as man, he gathered up all of humanity into his person. And all those who have said yes to him get to experience his place of being most favored. There can't be anything, any need that you might have that God's not said yes to. Now, the enemy may come to you in your Henry moment and tell you the room that you're living in is about to explode. But that was a lie. Now, I can tell you, by the way, Henry behaved. He was trying to get under my skin. Ron's experienced that with him before when the power goes out. Now the power was back on, but things weren't right. The potential for a death explosion in that room, which is totally irrational. And I'm trying to reason with him. Like, you're talking to Henry, stop it. I'm okay. So you should be okay. There's nothing wrong. But he was not going to get okay until we got into a room that was not dangerous. We live like that all the time. We are deceived by the enemy because something happens that's scary and we make deductions that are against the truth. We come to conclusions that are raised up against the knowledge of God. And if we let that happen enough, it builds a stronghold. We become very vulnerable to those kind of things. All of us know what that is, right? But the truth is, you are in Christ, in the heavenly, seated in the most honored position, and God can neither say no to you any more than he can say no to Jesus in terms of favor. You are the most favored. you have the same favor on you that Christ has on him. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace to you, that you always having all sufficiency, always having all. And I felt so sorry for Henry, and I wasn't mad at him. I don't think God gets mad at us when we don't believe. I think he has great compassion on us. He just wants us to not live like that, because that's what he came to rescue us from, that kind of nonsense fear. And we blame it on the devil. We blame it on demons. No, it's not the devil. If it's the devil's fault, then you trust their his voice more than you trust God's voice. If you're blaming it on demons, then you have more faith in what demons say about the situation than what God says about who you are. And that's not a good place to live. I tried to explain these things to Henry, but we went to sleep in Woody's room. Tonight, hopefully, I'll get some sleep and the power won't go off. Okay? You are seated in the most honored position, the same position that Christ has. You are the most favored. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.